Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
And welcome, everyone, to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by our friends at All American Ford. Don't forget to check them out, allamericanford.net. Four amazing locations in New Jersey, but you can get a brand new car right from their website. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Go away!
Then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I'm not a math guy.
Now, that reminds me, guys, we are just a few minutes away from the end of voting in Drop Madness. If you want to do that, TMKS ESPN on Twitter. I want to see if any of these matchups are particularly close. No, not really.
All blowouts, really? Huh?
They're all like, you know, if you're watching a tournament game, all these games, the team that's winning is up between like 10 and 15 points. Everyone as
true, but no blowouts, no real significant blowouts.
No, like, but it's all chalk.
But nobody.
Another victory for Andrew.
None of the leaders have more than 57%.
No, they're not disgusting blowouts.
Right,
but
it's
that's
20.
No, I mean that's why I'm saying this is a victory for Andrew, because you get to the Sweet 16 if you did the right job seeding. Your Sweet 16 games, in theory, should still be favorites winning, but the game should be close, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have here.
Still time to vote.
Still time to vote, and we have not cracked 2,000 votes during our voting process. TMKS ESPN, if you want to vote on Drop Madness, I would have thought this was going to be this year's biggest Drop Madness. Maybe just how repug Michael's bracket was, crushed the entire thing. What are your thoughts?
Fair point.
So the NFL has approved, expansion of the postseason. Okay? 14 teams will now qualify for the playoffs beginning with this season, the 2020 season. That means one additional wild card team added to each conference. It also means that each conference will now have a triple header. There will be Saturday and Sunday triple headers in the wild card, because there will be three wild card games and only one team that gets a bye in the playoffs. So 14 teams total, one in each conference getting a bye, the other six teams all playing wild card weekend. So it's going to make for a wacky opening weekend, triple headers on Saturday and Sunday. Also, one little note here that was tossed in, I saw in a story on Barstool that I had missed. In addition to one of the games being broadcasted on CBS on playoff wildcard weekend, they're also going to air that game with a separate commentary track geared towards a younger audience on Nickelodeon. Do you guys see that?
I did see that.
I said it earlier in the show. You should listen to the show. It's great.
I checked out. But that's pretty interesting.
I'm so done with him today.
I don't know if I think it's a particularly impactful idea, but it is interesting.
And
so anyways... Lots to digest here.
I got to just see it executed. And I do believe that what they gave CBS and NBC will be given to outside networks starting next year. Probably just
or charge a network more.
Yeah. But I do think that we as a company can benefit, because maybe this is what brings ABC back into the fold. And if you're just curious, if this format had been executed last year, the Los Angeles Rams would have been in the playoffs at 9-7, and the Pittsburgh Steelers would have been in the AFC at 8-8.
Now, that's a little surprising, because I really feel that this is not going to dilute it to the point that you're going to get teams that are under 500, because I think, as I said earlier, you get those teams under 500 that get in, that win a bad division, like the Seahawks when they were 7-9, although they won their first round. But, usually there are teams with pretty good records that are just left on the outside looking in. But I'm surprised the Steelers would have got in at 8-8 because I guess the AFC wasn't, it was kind of top heavy, not really strong.
A lot of 7-9 teams. A lot of 7 and 9 teams. Now, if you go back to 2018, the teams that would have gotten in the AFC would have been the Steelers again at 9-6-1. And in the NFC, the team that would have snuck in would have been the Minnesota Vikings at 8-7-1. So I guess I can keep going back, but you know, you're probably going to get that last wild card team, you know, 9-7, and on occasion it'll be 8-8.
Yeah, and some are teams you hear about, right? Like right now, you know, it's funny. Both the Rams and the Steelers last year, by the end of the season, I didn't really have any use for either of them in the playoffs. They both sort of felt like they were not. I mean, Pittsburgh deserved it more than L.A. because they were at least overachieving for most of the season. But by the end, I wasn't really impressed with them, and the Rams were disappointing the whole year.
And really quick, just if you go back to 2017, I would have to check the tiebreakers for the Ravens and the Chargers, but both of them would have been 9-7. And in the NFC, it would have been either the Lions or the Seahawks, depending on the tiebreaker, both of them 9-7. So you're probably looking at, as you start the season, right, your goal is going to be, if I can get to 500, I'm playing meaningful games in December and I have a chance to make the playoffs. So are you comfortable with that?
Yeah,
I think I am. I think the thing that really jumps out at you most is, you know, you're eliminating two byes. And of the last 7 Super Bowls, the 14 teams that have played have all been teams that had byes. So I think that's going to be stark if only 2 teams get byes, and every year those 2 teams make the Super Bowl, then it will be changed. But I don't think the 2 extra teams are that big of a deal.
But think about it. Let's say that did happen. And that looks like a negative because then it just becomes like how we grew up, where the best teams won. And,
right.
Hey, listen, it worked for the NBA, right? So why would that be such a bad thing if the 2-1 seeds play each other every year? Doesn't that tell you, hey, we have to strive for greatness, that finishing with the best record means something, that 13 and 2 team on the last week of the season may feel like, you know what, I gotta play my starters. This just becomes a must win for me, because otherwise I might be 13-3 and have to play wild card weekend. So it makes everybody kind of stay engaged and makes the games more meaningful. It gives you something to strive for. Is that the worst thing in the world?
No, it's a good thing.
You know, we talk so much about parity being so important. Well, up until this season, the NBA, you kind of routinely knew who was going to be in the final, and it didn't hurt ratings, didn't hurt interest. Hasn't killed the NFL that the Patriots routinely made the playoffs, routinely, you know, seemed to go to the Super Bowl. Of the 7 Super Bowls, what, the Patriots went to 4 of them? All of them coming off a bye? Didn't kill the NFL?
It's going to be interesting. I just like that, you know, it's something spicy, a little triple header. I mean, listen, it does feel a little greedy, you know, the triple header each day of the playoffs. It reminds me of Thanksgiving. Like, don't get me wrong. You know how I describe the 8 o'clock Thanksgiving game? It's like the second dessert on Thanksgiving.
Right.
But I don't need it. I already had a slice of pie. I had some ice cream, but they're like, oh, you didn't see that there's also pumpkin pie. And I go, okay, give me another piece.
Oh, well,
I don't need it, but I like it.
Right, but last year, the third one was Saints-Falcons. And the only thing that really came out of that was, you know, the Falcons kept getting onside kicks, right?
Yeah, that was the only interesting part.
Falcons weren't very good. The Saints were good. You might randomly get 3 really good games, but you're probably not. But you know these are 3 playoff games. And you know that primetime one isn't going to be a lame one. It's going to be probably the two more rateable teams. So that third playoff game is going to get a huge number.
So also in NFL news, the NFL has invited its top prospects to attend the draft remotely. In other words, get to be on Zoom for the draft. But let's be honest, that's actually one thing that doesn't feel that different. That's always been a part of the draft. I mean, yes, not usually the top prospects. Usually the top prospects are there, and you're seeing players who are a little further down who are at home. But there will be something comfortable about that. I mean, we have how long have we seen cameras in the home on draft day? It's actually something that might feel normal, yeah. I think.
The only thing that
did you
be
get a sense
is,
that Steve Young was not on board for having the draft?
Oh, absolutely. He said he really felt for the general manager.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was it's inappropriate because of the time, but just that he feels that there is a disadvantage of not getting to know these players. But they're all in the same boat, so
that's my point. If they're
even.
All in the same boat, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. The one thing that'll be different, though, Peter, is when they go to that player, he's not going to be surrounded by his family, right?
They said they're going to space everybody. The family will be there, but they'll all be 6 feet apart. I don't know how they're going to enforce that at somebody's home.
Well, you know, guys, that's still a month away. So is it possible that testing could be to the point that, hey, all the family tested negative, so let's all gather around?
Maybe.
Also, if they've all been quarantined in the same house, I mean, my kids aren't 6 feet away from me. We're all in the same house.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's strange times here, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know how you feel. It changes almost by the minute. Like, ooh, that makes me feel good. Oh my God, I'm not sure. This is not good.
Tell me the things that made you feel good. I want to know. Oh, you said you heard about one potential testing situation.
Right. Well, when I got off the air, I'll give you an example. I got off the air. My brother texted me that, you know, Johnson & Johnson's come up with a vaccine. And I'm like, whoa, that's great. And then I read up on it, and it's still, you know, September testing should be ready by, you know, the start
January.
Of the 2021
right.
year. And so then I felt down again. But the toaster testing, as I call it, because they showed it on TV, it's like the size of a toaster. They could give you a negative in 5 to 6 minutes, a positive in 13. So I guess once you get past 6 minutes, you're like, oh boy, I guess it's going to be negative. But
I don't understand what's the size of the toaster though. Well, what is the test?
Well, it's almost like the flu test, the same deal. So I guess you get some kind of a specimen. I don't know if they still have to put the stick up your nose, and then they put it in the machine, and the machine spits out whether it's positive or negative.
But they would be able to give you the machine?
Have it in doctor's offices, so
right.
they would tell you. I mean, they're trying to have a pinprick test, too, that you could do at home.
But the point is that it can travel. You can take these toaster-sized tests, put them in a truck, and have like 500 of them someplace where everybody there can get tested. Getting to the point of if we ever get to wanting to play games again, okay, how many people are going to participate in this game? Let's go, and theoretically, within a half hour, we'll be able to test everybody, and then let's go forward. Like that,
now, that'll
be a game changer.
The toaster test is not just one toaster per test. I mean, you could keep using the same toaster.
Yeah. Right.
Just putting in. You know what got me, though, today? Steve Young's story. I mean, I almost fell off my chair. The guy who was in great health, didn't have any symptoms, and then just died.
Yeah.
I mean, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to this.
Yeah, it's very random. And maybe we can find something out about that, too, right? That if they start, like, following up, it's probably hard to do right now because they're trying to treat the people that are sick. But find the people that showed no symptoms, you know, and see what is it about them that they didn't seem to get hit as hard by it as some did. Because we were told early on, oh, it's people that have bad immune systems and people that are old. But you're seeing there was a woman in Italy that was 101 and she survived it. And there's young people that are dying from it. So I wonder if there's something we can learn from that. Is there something else that we can kind of... And then if you can find out what that is, then those people can get bumped to the front of the line, right?
Yep.
So they don't get themselves in a situation where they're not on a respirator, they're not in the hospital.
Do you think... maybe this will cheer you up. Look what I just had sent to my phone here. Let's see if this will work.
Hello, I'm Larry David. Obviously somebody... put me up to this because it's generally not the kind of thing I do, but I basically want to address the idiots out there, and you know who you are. You're going out, I don't know what you're doing, you're socializing too close, it's It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other, let's say other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright.
He goes on for another minute, but someone made Larry.
That's what we need. Because you know what? There's probably more people that respect the words of Larry David than elected officials and doctors. And as ridiculous as that might be, whatever works, do it.
Oh, that made me happy. All right. So here's a more good news. According to Tua Tagovailoa's agent, he's ready to play his rookie season. And if you don't believe his agent, who are you going to believe? Am I right?
Right. What is he?
Well, Laura Rutledge also said that she has heard that he will be ready to play game one.
So answer. I know you don't care. Neither of you care, and our listeners don't care. But just tell me the truth. If you're me, based on what you saw from Haskins last year, if everyone believes Tua is ready to go, do you go with Chase Young and trot back out Haskins, or do you say screw Haskins and start over with Tua?
I think I take Chase Young.
I didn't see enough of Haskins to know. I mean,
I'll fill you in. I'll fill you in. He's average. It's really unclear if he's going to be good. It's unclear.
Well, you could have said that about Troy Aikman, who was on an awful team and ended up becoming.
Just remember one thing, though, Peter.
Okay.
The guy played 1 year in college.
I know. He's barely played. He's played like 20 football games.
People raved about him. Smart guy. Good kid. I mean, the selfie notwithstanding, I don't know how you can make that judgment off 1 year.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you know what? I'd be more apt to take Tua if there wasn't a Chase Young sitting there. Well, if there wasn't this seminal defensive player that people think could, like, change a defense for a decade.
But let's do the math here. Clearly, quarterback's more important than edge pass rusher, but edge pass rusher, I think, is second.
Yes.
All right. So we're not taking that much of a drop off. You're still taking the second most important position on a team. And people seem to be more sure about Young than they are Tagovailoa. Never mind the injury. Was Tagovailoa Peyton Manning? Like, where you just felt like this was going to be a great quarterback?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, let's be fair about that. Before Tagovailoa got hurt, people thought he may have been the best college quarterback of all time.
All right.
I mean, that conversation existed.
But does that translate to the NFL?
Like, I don't know. I always thought it looked like he had a sort of like delicate, slow motion that I couldn't picture in the league.
Remember, you're not drafting a player that was the best college player. You're drafting a player you think is going to be the best NFL player. And that's what I mean. He had a phenomenal year, and he's a tremendous talent. But if there's question about him translating to the NFL, there doesn't seem to be any question about Chase Young, that he's somebody that right away – first year, he is going to have an impact on your defense. And you already drafted a quarterback that still the jury might be out, but he still was a high draft pick. I think I agree with Michael. I go with Young.
Well, thank you guys, but you guys gave me an answer. Good news for everyone. LeBron wanted it. The people wanted it. And now we've gotten it. ESPN has moved up the release date for the Michael Jordan documentary. It's a 10-part series, which will now begin April 19th. It was supposed to be June after the finals. No more. It was announced on Good Morning America. I've never seen more hype for a sports documentary. Everyone is ready. LeBron posted about it. It's called Last Dance, April 19th, a 10-part Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls documentary.
20 hours.
Now,
unbelievable, right?
Now, this is our company.
That's
and
right.
They more times than not nail it. With that much time, they've got to give me a lot I don't know. Because it's not like we don't know Michael Jordan, right? I mean, he's been an open book pretty much as far as all the stuff that he did and accomplished, all right? So if I'm going to watch that much of Michael Jordan, I want to walk away with a lot of stuff I didn't know.
Well, Jace.
I mean, I just don't want a celebration of Michael Jordan. Now, maybe a 20-year-old needs it because he didn't live it. But I don't want to walk away from 20 hours of programming and go, well, all right,
Well, what did you? I mean, you knew everything about the OJ trial, and that was still riveting and won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
I didn't see
him
watch it.
What?
You didn't watch it?
No.
That was great.
Oh, it was really good.
Because I lived it.
Well, then this may not be for you.
Well, but you're going this long. I think the best documentaries are the ones that kind of give you a little something that you didn't know.
There'll be a little something, but let's be realistic, guy. I mean, he was one of the most covered athletes of all time. We know a lot of the stories. I think, Don, I don't know about you, Michael, I'm looking forward, you know, since Michael retired, I knew at the time I was watching the greatest basketball player who ever lived.
Right.
And since he's retired, I've never gotten to really relive what I watched. So I'm excited to relive it, even if I've seen a lot of it.
Don
expects everything to be, this is Spinal Tap. He doesn't realize it's fiction.
Yeah, it can't all be Spinal Tap. Or you know, a booger vehicle like Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, don't devalue my opinion. I watch and read a lot of interesting things. Okay?
Like the booger book.
I mean, the booger book. I've read a lot of books. You always go back to that book, which was like 3 years ago, and I read it in like 4 days.
All right, the Tim Conway vehicle.
Hey, I got my tastes, all right? But that doesn't mean that I didn't. I've read the Teddy Roosevelt book. I'm reading a Patrick Waugh book that's the size of War and Peace. It's amazing. It's like 500 pages. And I've read all of them. Ian O'Connor's Jeter book. I read the Dale Barra's book, which is very interesting. So don't make it seem like I'm just some yo-yo that reads like random 80s, you know, character books. All right?
Are you going to read my book when it comes out?
Yeah, absolutely. Cover to cover.
Right. Yeah, by the way, Peter, what's happening with your book?
This is not a 30 for 30 on Michael Jordan. All right? This isn't like a two-hour theatrical release. This is 20 hours of stuff. So I want something revealed. I want to walk away saying, I didn't know that. Or I didn't think about it that way. Or, wow, I can't believe he said that. I think that's fair.
Do you know what the book, do you know what, Michael, do you know what the Booger book is called?
Booger.
No. It's called Revenge of the Nerd, Curtis Armstrong. And then under it says, or The Singular Adventures of the Man Who Would Be Booger.
All right. Well, first of all,
you can't put that baby down.
Hey, you know what? Mock me because you think you're so much better than us, okay? And I say us, the collective we of people
Peter's
that enjoyed
Revenge Why are you
of
jumping
the
Nerds. Me?
That
I'm just
trying Revenge
me.
Of the Nerds
I'm
is,
just
is
trying
a
to
classic 80s movie. He was also in Risky Business, which was a blockbuster, and he was also in Moonlighting, which was a terrific television vehicle for Bruce Willis.
That's right.
So and, don't make it seem like he's just some random yo-yo. I was interested in that book, and the Team Mussolini book, and the Bernie Federko book, and the Dale Barra book.
Could you send that Bernie Federko book to me? I'd like to read it.
That's in the Hall of Fame, Michael. I mean, it's amazing to me. Now, did Dave Maloney say to me, Bernie Federko wrote a book? Yes, he did. It did surprise some people. But he still went to the Hall of Fame, and I was interested in it. He had a life.
Cap Anson's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Would you read a book about him?
I certainly would.
You would read a Cap Anson book.
Why not? Tris Speaker? Matter of fact, I'm going to search online after the show to see if there's a Tris Speaker book. I love that. I want to know stuff. What was the play in the dead ball era?
You know what's fascinating, Michael, about the Booger book?
Nothing. Why?
No, that's not true. First of all, his run early on is incredible. So let's just Risky Business, Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
Better Off Dead.
Classic.
One Crazy Summer.
Yes.
Revenge of the Nerds 2. Then it starts to take a turn. And in 1996, you know, he's in Jingle All the Way playing a character known as Chainsmoking Booster.
In
Van Wilder.
And now in 2020, he's doing Domino's commercials.
In 2002,
based
in Van Wilder.
A character from a movie that was from 1983. That's how iconic that movie is.
In Van Wilder.
Risky Business isn't iconic.
No, it is. In Van Wilder, he played the role of campus cop. By the way, why have we not had him on the show as much as he gets talked about? It's not right. He deserves
a
spot.
Because
I think he's worthy
Michael's
of a center stage.
Michael's very highbrow. It's got to be people that like stimulate his intellectual sensibility.
I would love to have an argument.
God forbid. What an awful thing.
But you never dumb it down. You know, sometimes if you just allowed yourself to dumb it down a little bit, very interesting life you could lead here.
The stuff that I like to watch, you know, I dumb it down when it comes to sitcoms and movies. I dumb it down. My favorite movie's Animal House.
Now, listen, I know we can't do this now. I've been told we need to move on.
Why?
However.
Who
however,
told you?
I don't want to say.
Andrew.
However, at some point, I want to have an argument where Don names Yankees who Curtis Armstrong is more worthy of a center stage than.
Do you?
I know you guys will firmly disagree that there are Yankees out there who Michael believes are important, Don, and you would
Listen,
say Booger is
Curtis
way more
Armstrong
important.
In Hollywood is the equivalent to Ron Bloomberg in baseball. Somebody had
you
to be
what?
The first DH, Michael, so stop, okay? If it wasn't him, 2 seconds later, it would have been somebody else.
All yeah,
right?
That's the most outrageous
those
thing
are,
you've ever said.
Even,
I'm not,
as a matter of fact, Curtis Armstrong is bigger. He's just bigger.
Curtis Armstrong's bigger.
He's bigger.
Ron Bloomberg lives forever. What is Curtis Armstrong? Is he going to live forever?
Is a Booger? If 2 minutes later, if somebody whistled him back to the dugout to so he wanted to get a new piece of gum, somebody else would have been the first DH ever.
That's a good
Give
point
me a
by
break.
Don.
I'm
I
no,
think Don
no offense
was.
To him.
But
he's a great
was.
Guy. I met him. He's a super guy. And he was a Major League Baseball player. Don't get me wrong. But you just saw the resume. You heard the resume of Curtis Armstrong. In Hollywood, Curtis Armstrong is bigger than Ron Bloomberg is in baseball. Period. And yet you'd read
Nonsense.
A Ron Bloomberg book. You'd book him tomorrow.
Tomorrow on the K
Show. I did
show.
Read his book, Designated Jew. It's a great book. And that's
he
a
has
new
a
title.
Book?
Yeah, Designated Jew.
Curtis Armstrong
Jew.
Deserves a book more than Ron Bloomberg. Stop it.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
He's the first, but that's not an accomplishment. Again, I don't want to kill the guy. It was just timing. If he was a better fielder, he wouldn't have been the first DH ever.
Tomorrow on the show, a new game, Booger or Bomber. Who's more deserving of the center stage spot? And we'll talk Curtis Armstrong versus different Yankees. Now, all right, I'm going to have to skip past a lot of stories here. It's okay. Nothing really huge. Let's jump right into Drop Madness. Get you caught up on what happened today. Let's start in the Michael region. It's over. Charlie Impression is no more. The four seed advances.
The most effective quarterback.
Nope. The four seed in the Michael region.
It's Zach called, Britton!
That's right. It's Zach Britton. Everybody's favorite. 57-43, a winner. Then, like I said, it's chalk. We go down to the Peter region, and the one seed advances.
Okay.
57-43, but that means the end of the four seed. This is Gil is no more.
Nice. This is Gil.
Right. Gone from the tournament. Freddie Kitchens advances. Sorry, Freddie Key. Then we move over to the Don region, where the powerful one seed with a 55-45 win.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
But that means the end of the five seed.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
It's like I just got to know you. Makes me sad. And finally, in the other region, the one seed advances.
Just take the L.
And that means we may never hear it again, but what a valiant effort from the small school, a little mid-conference school that won their conference tournament, the 12 seed.
Peter, wondering if you could talk a little Redskin football with me. I've been a...
Absolutely not. You've been hung up on.
You're such a bad guy. That will do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening, and tomorrow we finish out the second half of the Sweet 16 in Drop Madness.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls, lead you right up until Chris Carlin. So stick around. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
98.7 ESPN. Over the air. Over the air. And everywhere. From your car to your phone to your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Sports never stops here. This is 98.7 ESPN.
From roof to foundation, the damage to your home can be devastating from clogged gutters, leaking roofs, rotting wood and fascia, and flooded basements. Protect your entire home with Leaf Filter, the nation's number one rated gutter protection system.
One of the things that I like the most is that I don't have to get back on the ladder anymore.
Leaf Filter starts by cleaning, sealing, and realigning your gutters. We then install our micro mesh screen over your existing gutters, which is guaranteed to filter out everything except for water.
Trying other products is what made us finally go to Leaf Filter.
And Leaf Filter's lifetime transferable warranty makes it an extraordinary value.
Leaf Filter is going to make my home more valuable, especially when I go to sell it.
Call 833-287-3435 or go to GetLeafFilter.com for your free gutter inspection and estimate. Call 833-287-3435 or visit GetLeafFilter.com.
Let's check the traffic with Alex Lee.
Hey, thanks so much. There is a serious accident in East Rutherford. It's on Route 17 northbound at Union Avenue. At least one lane will be closed. PATH train service is running on a modified schedule until further notice. NJ Transit on a President's Day timetable. Metro North, Hudson, Harlem, and New Haven lines on an amended Saturday schedule. All New Jersey toll roads and crossings are now cashless, as is the New York State Thruway. You will just receive a bill in the mail. This report is sponsored by H&R Block. There's a lot going on right now, and more than ever, people need their tax refund. H&R Block has many ways to do your taxes as safely as possible. Work with a tax pro remotely, drop your taxes off, or file online. Block is always here to help. I'm Alex Lee on 98.7 ESPN.